Okay, just for some scheduling purposes, we are officially finished Maseches Ksubos. Now everyone's doing the Daf Yomi, so we finished Maseches Ksubos. We will be switching over to Maseches Kedushin Daf Chof Tes. Why are we learning Kedushin Chof Tes? Because we did the first part of Kedushin already, and I think that Kedushin Chof Tes reminds me a lot of what we did in Rebbe Elazar de Milo. Being along this, with still some more practical, or at least life relevancy, as opposed to Kimlei B'Derabim Minei, which doesn't come up in your everyday life. Now, it's not going to be a halacha shir at all, it's going to be lumdis, but as you'll see, that there's a lot of very geshmak alumdis that comes up in the sugyas, but a little bit more relevant to life, as opposed to things like Kimlei B'Derabim Minei, Karis and Malkus, and Karis and Misa, which is not so much practical daily occurrences. So, Mr. Shem, we will begin that after Tisha B'Av. The shayla is when to begin that after Tisha B'Av. So obviously next Sunday we're not going to have a Gemara Shiur, and the following Sunday I have a chasen I have to attend in Baltimore. I think I have to leave Queens by 10 o'clock. So we have two choices. We can either do a Zoom Shiur around 8:45 to 9:45, if you want to have the opening sugya in a Zoom, or we can have to call the new Shiur for a Sunday afterwards. So I guess check your emails to see what we're going to do. Those are the two tzadim of what we can do. Today would be the 14th, yeah. So again, it's Shabbos Nachmu Sunday. Maybe people are away anyways, so we'll have to figure out what exactly we're going to do. But in-person share is basically an impossibility because I have to be back in Queens by 10 o'clock to head to Baltimore for a chasana. Mitzvah next Sunday we'll commemorate Tisha B'Av. I can't say it is Tisha B'Av because in our shiurim we're debating that topic. In my shul, I go through the kinnis, and we go till about mincha time. It will be broadcast on the Zoom. So I'm not saying anyone should come to Queens to hear me. Baruch Hashem, there are a lot of talented people, much more talented and qualified than I am, to talk about the kinnis in this neighborhood and in this shul and in other locations. But if you have no one else to listen to the kinnis, you can just go on our regular Zoom connection, and we will be doing the kinnis in Mr. Hashem next Sunday. If Mashiach doesn't come before then, we will be davening at 8:30. So figure by 9:15 we'll start the kinnis. I'd like for it to go till about mincha time, or at least till chatzos 1 o'clock. Depending on how much time I have this week to prepare. So, but again, if you're home anyways, again, we're living in a different world today. We're living in a world today where there's so many options of who to hit a kinnis from, what to watch. There's schedules upon schedules of just what to watch, let alone, you know, who to watch and what to watch. There's so many videos and so many wonderful, inspirational things to Tisha B'Av. Used to be Tisha B'Av was really not properly experienced. Now it's a little better. I think it still needs a little bit more chizuk, but in any case, if you have no one else to listen to, you just go on our regular Zoom, which you probably can see in your emails, and you'll see there the connection that you can listen to. This Tuesday night, we'll be having our halacha shir on what to know when Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos. Now, I would like to say that we're going to have another shir on Wednesday night. Last year, we started this new minhag that we talked about the Gemaras in Gittin that talk about the Chorban. So last year, I think we got halfway through. I would like to say we're going to finish it up this year, but I can't make any guarantees, depending on how backlogged I am for preparing the kinnis. So, check your emails to see if this Wednesday night we'll have a shiur on the Gemaras. We're definitely not going to have a shiur on the regular parasha. We might have a shiur where we delve into the Gemaras and Gittin that discuss the Chorban. We had one last year, if you want to listen to that. We got halfway through, and the point was to continue this year. We'll see if time allows it. Okay, in any case, that's just some scheduling purposes. Now, back to very bekitzer. In last week's parasha, we have the Masois, we have the travelings of the Bnei Yisrael, 42 travels of the Bnei Yisrael. And the question always is why is it relevant for us to know about the travels of the Bnei Yisrael? So it happens to be the Nesiva Shalom, whose yahrzeit is very soon. The Slan Rebbe writes that every Jew goes through 42 nisyonos of travels. Just like the Jewish people have 42 travels, we too have 42 nisyonos. Good luck figuring out what they are, but we all experience these travels and these tribulations of life. And that's what really these Masa'ois represent the travels, the trials and tribulations of life that get us to where we need to be. And sometimes we don't even understand why we're on this path or how we got to this path or why we need to go down this path. But every step the Bnei Yisrael traveled, every Masa'o was for a purpose and it was for a reason. And sometimes in life we don't even understand the path, why we were put on a certain path. Why did Hashem put us here? Why did Hashem put us in this place? And sometimes it takes many, many years to understand it, but we believe as Maminim that every step and every path had a purpose. It's even like that for the Golus. It's hard for us to imagine to try to justify, and I am by no means trying to justify or explain all the various Korbanos throughout Jewish history, but we know and we believe that each one of those Korbanos had a purpose. Hashem didn't just for fun decide to destroy European Jewry. That was a stage. We had to first go through Europe and then to America, whatever else the other various stages Hashem has for us. But we have to believe that every stage in life, even as an individual, as a Prati, as a yachid. Hashem has a specific path for us. Why am I here now? Because that's what Hashem wants. And if he wants me to change, he'll pick me up and move me somewhere else. Came across an amazing story. This mamish, this story is the one, I told it over to my wife on Shabbos. She said, this story gives you goosebumps. Let's see if you agree to her. You know, it's well known that during the Holocaust, many people, when they were told that they're being transported by the Nazis, they didn't really know where they were going. Many people thought they actually trusted the Nazis, which was one of the greatest abilities that they had, was to fool the people. They fooled the people into thinking you're really just being transported somewhere else. No one's going to kill you. No one's going to take your stuff. So people brought stuff with them. So in this camp, they allowed the local Poles to take whatever the Jewish people left on the side by the train. So two Polish women come and they see a fur coat. So they pick up the fur coat and they shake it out, and there's jewelry and there's diamonds and there's a baby. A lady smuggled her baby in her coat. Must have been a big fur coat. She smuggled a little baby. She figured, I'll take my baby with them. Who wouldn't take their children with them if they're leaving? Agav, if you listen on Eli Portel's podcast, quick shout out. So he had interviews a Holocaust survivor who describes this at length. You know, they tell you, you have a few minutes to take all your belongings. What do you mean, a few minutes to take all your belongings? You have your whole life here, and you have to pick in 10 minutes what to take. So this woman chose a chumash, which shows us what she valued. What would we take? Halavai, what would we take? We would take our laptop and our computer and our iPhone, which they would probably confiscate the first thing anyways. But shmooze for a different time. But they took whatever they took the baby. So a lady takes her baby in her coat, and she was put probably in the gas chamber. So she's left. There's money and a baby. So the two Polish women decide they're going to split. One Polish woman was an older woman. She said, I never had children. This is my opportunity to have a baby. I'll take the baby. You take the money. So they split. One Polish woman took the child. The other one took the jewelry. And they raised this girl as a Polish girl. Her mother raised her well. She raised her. She went to school. She became a pediatrician. And she was a practicing pediatrician in Poland. When her mother died, or what she thought was her mother, someone knocked on the door and said, I want you to know she wasn't really your mother. This lady was, because again, the neighbors knew. One day, all of a sudden, the lady comes back with a baby. The lady's, you know, older, and all of a sudden, she comes back with the baby. Something didn't make sense. So she said, I want you to know, now that your mother died, she's not really your mother. She's going to be not my mother. She said, I'm going to show you. You have a little gold pendant that was on you when you were born. Your mother kept it. Go take a look. So she looks at it as Hebrew on it, Hebrew words. So now already she starts to think, maybe I was Jewish. So she's now struggling with this newfound, you know, birth power of being Jewish. So what she does is she goes, she walks the streets, and lo and behold, she finds two Chabad shluchim. So she tells the shluchim her story, and the shluchim say, let's write a letter to the Rebbe. We'll ask the Rebbe what to do. So the Rebbe writes back, Avada, you're 100% Jewish, and I think you should use your medical ability to help Jewish people. What are you sitting here in Poland? Treating the Poles? Move to Eretz Yisrael. You can treat Jewish children. So Shaitaka uprooted her family. She moved to Eretz Yisrael, and she was living in an Orthodox life, a pediatrician in Eretz Yisrael. Okay. Fast forward to the year August 20, 2001. Why is that a famous time? That was the Sabaro bombing. So she was not far from the Sabaro bombing, so she was a doctor. She figured, let me go help. So she runs over to the site, and she starts looking to see if she can help. She meets an older man. And the man is screaming, help me find my granddaughter. You can imagine the pachad of a grandfather being together with his granddaughter, and, you know, and now the bomb happens. So she said, how am I going to recognize her? She said, she sees she has a special necklace. Okay. So she meets this little girl, and she sees the necklace. So she goes to the grandfather, and she says, where did you buy that necklace? I have the same necklace. So where did you buy it? She said, buy it. I made it. I made two of them. One for one daughter, and that got passed down to her granddaughter, and for my other daughter, who sadly didn't survive the war. This girl found her father 60 years later because the Rebbe told her to move to Eretz Yisrael. Again, when she moved there, lifted her life from Poland and moved to Eretz Yisrael, you think she chesed that, oh, because of this move, I'm going to meet my father? Never. This is the masois of our life. We never understand why we move, why we travel, why we go. It's an amazing, amazing concept. But that Kosh Baruch Hu has a plan for all. He knows exactly where we need to be, where we have to go, and he takes us on that path. So that's, I think, really the lesson of the masois of Bnei Yisrael. Why the Jewish people have to have been uprooted from Europe and moved to America, I don't know. I don't claim to know. But I believe, and I think we all believe that there's a reason for it, and that's what we take away from last week's parasha. Okay, let's move on to the sugya that we're holding in now.
Your wife
was right. She's right? Okay, good. Everyone agrees? Okay, good. I read the story 2-3 times. I was like, whoa, that's wild. This is a book that came out written by a fellow, Rabbi David Hoffman. He writes fantastic books on everything. He also prints booklets on Dvei Torah, on Shabbos and stuff. He lives in Muncie. His parents live by me in Queens. Wonderful, wonderful stuff. Torah Tavlin, if anyone ever hears of it. That's his thing. So he has many svarim and books, and he just came out with a new book on the Holocaust. This was all about the Holocaust. So he has that story in there. Really an amazing, amazing story. Okay, so we left off last week. We were dealing with three halachas in Shulchan Aruch. We have to really go back and forgetting. We started off with a chakira. A halachic quandary. Not really a chakira. Halachic quandary, what happens if someone becomes bar mitzvah on this Sunday? What happens if someone becomes bar mitzvah on Yud Ches Tammuz? Does he have to fast or doesn't he have to fast? So we wanted to say that shaila is dependent upon a chakira. We made up a chakira. What was the chakira? How do you understand the fast when it falls out on Shabbos? Do you say Shabbos is not the fast and Sunday is the fast? Or you say, no, Shabbos is a little bit the fast. Whatever you can do on Shabbos, you do on Shabbos, whatever else you do on Sunday. That was our chakira that we worked everything through. And the three major areas in halacha that shed light on this chakira was, A, are there dine tisha b'av on Shabbos this week? So we trumped that up to a machlokes mechab and ramah. The mechab said there is no restrictions on Shabbos. The ramah said there are restrictions. Then we came across another mechab. The mechab said, is this week considered shvur shechalbay? So the mechaber had two opinions, whether this week is shvur shechalbay or not. So we wanted to say that that's totally in the same chakira. And then we came to a third halacha. The third halacha where we really hit a brick wall was the notion that a Baal Bris, which we'll talk hopefully more about today, if someone makes a Bris on this upcoming Sunday, he is allowed to break his fast after Mincha, and he's allowed to wash, and he's allowed to eat. So these three halachas are really what we're juggling over here to try to understand, how do we understand the Tisha B'Av Shenidcha? So we left off last week where we said a mahalach from Eliyahu Baruch Finkel. We wanted to say pshat in the Ramah like this. The Ramah is the one who says there is avelus on the Shabbos. So we wanted to say that must mean the Ramah holds that Shabbos is really Tisha B'Av. So if Shabbos is really Tisha B'Av, so how do you understand why are we more makel for Bismillah? So we wanted to explain like Rabbi Baruch Finkel wanted to say. The pshat in the Ramah is like this. Avada Shabbos Tisha B'Av is Tisha B'Av. And you're supposed to be knowing avelus because it's Tisha B'Av on the calendar. Whenever you can be noig avelus, you have to be noig avelus betzina. Therefore, you're not allowed to have tashmish on Shabbos. But the yom hatainis, the actual fact, that gets pushed off to Sunday. Oh, if you say it like that, everything is beautiful. The reason why you're allowed to eat on Sunday is because the tainis is taka pushed off. Because the tainis is pushed off, it's more lenient. Because it's more lenient, you're allowed to eat. And then everything is very geschmack now in the Ramah. Now the Ramah, I think, makes the most sense. The Ramah holds avadu when Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, the day to commemorate the avelus is Shabbos. As much as he can. But the tainus, that taka gets pushed off to Sunday. So whenever you're talking about dini hatainus, like eating, which is a din in tainus, that goes to Sunday. Oh, if it goes to Sunday, so it's nitche. If it's nitche, then you would be allowed to eat at the bris.
So why do you have a veil on Sunday?
Because the chari, according to him, you're going to have a veil whenever the tainus is also. And according to him, there's two reasons to have a veil. There's nine of calendar, and there's the day that we celebrate. The day that we celebrate it is yod also. So we have both days. Rabbi Salvechik's argument was you can't have avelus for 2 days. The Ramah clearly disagrees. Because it comes out according to the Ramah, you're not allowed to have tashmish Friday night into Matzah Shabbos, and then Matzah Shabbos into Sunday. So that's another point of disagreement.
Why did he say no 2 days?
I guess he thought it doesn't make sense that the Rabbanan would give such a prohibition.
No rides.
There's no rides. He didn't bring any rides. But now I want to talk about the sheet of the Mechaber. The Mechaber, again, let's work it out with the Mechaber. The Mechaber says there is no avelus on Tisha B'Av that falls out on Shabbos. The Mechaber says that a Baal Bris, who has a Bris on Sunday, eats on Sunday. Those two things seem to be contradictory. Why? Because if you hold that there's no Isser on Shabbos, that's like the Rajma said, that we move the fast to Sunday. So if we move the fast to Sunday, so why are we makel for a Bris on Sunday? Well, what's the reason to be makel?
Not move the fast,
move the whole day, right? Move the whole Tisha B'Av. Yeah. Like the lashon of the Rajba, this Rajba is very important. The Rajba says we uprooted the whole Tisha B'Av and we moved it to Sunday.
So it's not Shavuot Shechalba then.
So then the A, it shouldn't be Shavuot Shechalba. B, why is the Mechaber Mekel for a bris that happens on that Sunday? That's like a bris that happens on a regular Tisha B'Av. A bris that happens on a regular Tisha B'Av, no one thinks that you are allowed to eat after Chatzos. So why over here are we Mekel? So it seems to be a direct steer in Shulchan Aruch. That's where we left off last week. Now let's take a look at number three. Writes the Mechaber Simon Tov Kuf Nun Tes. Tisha B'Av Shechalis B'Shabbos. Tisha B'Av that falls on a Shabbos V'Nidcha L'Yom Rishon, and the Bris gets pushed off, and the Tisha B'Av gets pushed off to Sunday. Balei Baal Bris Mispalo Mincha. The Baal Bris. Interesting lashon of the Mechaber. Baal Bris. He should have said Balei Bris. There's usually more than one Baal Bris. usually for these halachas, we assume it's the Mayol, the Sandik, and Avi Ben. So the Beis Yosef talks about why the Mechaber, why he wrote the Lashon Balbris, whether it's Lafuke other people or not. But in any case, the mother is included. Well, Mishnah Berurah, we'll see the mother puts the mother, the Mishnah Berurah puts the mother in there as well. What's the halacha, says the Mechaber? Mispalo mincha b'oide yam godli. You daven mincha while it's still daytime, which probably means mincha gedoyla. V'roichetz. Then you go take a shower. And you don't finish the fast. Havas, why not? Because it's your Yom Tov. So the obvious kash is, what does that mean, it's your Yom Tov? But it's Tisha B'Av. Oh, it's Nitcha. But according to the Rashba, oh, it's Nitcha doesn't make a difference. Because according to the Rashba, Nitcha just means that this year Tisha B'Av is Sunday. So the same way, if Tisha B'Av would be Tuesday, and the Brits fell out on Tuesday, there's no one in the world who says, you're allowed to break the fast. Why are you allowed to do it over here? That's the bomb kash. What I want to get to in the next Mar Mekaymis is, what's pshat in this halacha? Forget the lumness that we're dealing with. What type of halacha is this? Because you are making a bris that's yamta for you, you throw out Tisha B'Av. We'll have to get to it. But what's more important is this ber halacha. Says the ber halacha, v'chein b'choylik tzas, u'muberish yesh mechosh k'tzas, mutarim le'echo. Says the ber halacha, according from Rabbi Kiva Eger, really according from the Shmos Yankiv, that anyone who's not feeling well this year, Tisha B'Av, or a pregnant woman, she could be more makel with her fast. Why? Because we see that a balbris could be more makel. Again, why? According to the Rashba, this is a regular Tisha B'Av. If this is a regular Tisha B'Av, why are we opening up kulas? If you hold that the pshat is that really Tisha B'Av is on the 9th, and 10th is just makeup, I hear now why you're going to have svaris to be makel. But we're learning now like the Rashba, the Mechaber holds like the Rashba, that this year Tisha B'Av is Sunday. Shabbos is nothing. So why am I makel? Of us. And not only am I makel for a balbris, I'm makel for a chayla, which is probably more common than the first case.
Maybe there's a chilek between the avelus of the day versus the isurim of the day. So that could be...
Okay, so we're going to have to start splitting hairs a little bit to figure out what causes what. But again, my question generally is, if you hold like the Rashba, meaning this machaber is a stira. We're saying now that the machaber holds like the Rashba, that we move Tisha B'Av from Shabbos to Sunday. So if we move Tisha B'Av from Shabbos to Sunday, so Sunday is the regular Tisha B'Av with all its chaymri. If that's the case, so why are we make a furbish? Yeah, that's the question.
Why would we observe any availus we would see?
Which the Mechaber doesn't. Which the Mechaber doesn't. Again, in the Mechaber, it's Lushitas, it's very nice.
Can you make the chilek between the people that are doing it? Like for the Baal Bris, the Mol, and the whoever else, they know the Bris is coming up next week. So this week for them is going to be a Shavuot Shechavo Tishbav. Because in other words...
I would argue, right?
Well, no, in other words, I'm saying, let's say, if we don't have anything planned.
Right.
So the answer is, listen, I'll say, listen, it was totally nidche, whatever it is, from Shabbos to Sunday.
Right.
This is not a Shavuot Shechavo Tisha B'Av.
Right.
And I can't avail myself of the bris thing because it's not going to happen to me anyway. I'm not sure exactly what happens if I don't feel well.
Right.
But for those people that know already what I'm feeling, then I'm going to go ahead and push it off from Shabbos to Sunday because of the bris. Maybe for them... This is
Taka Din. So I think that should be telling the lamas of Shavuot Shechabah. The pashtus is the Shavuot Shechabah is not only a din in the actual fasting, it's a din on the day of the calendar. So whether or not I'm going to fast or not, it's shailas about things like that. The person knows he's not going to fast. Right? So if you look carefully at the Losh of the Ber Halach, he writes that we're talking about Umuber Shiyesh Mechosh Ktsas. I got a phone call a few weeks ago from a lady. She's, you know, pregnant, she doesn't want to fast Tisha B'Av. It's not what the Ber Halach says. He says, if you're not feeling well, if you have a lady who's a fantastic faster, okay, so, well, no reason not to fast. But you have to have, right, she knows she's not going to feel well. I love those. She knows she's not going to feel well. Nah, I know, I'm not. So I told her, I said, tell your husband to watch the kids. I told him she has little kids.
He
sure doesn't feel well. Maybe you should hire someone. I don't know. Whatever. In any case, we'll come back to this hopefully at some point. But this L'chayra is important because this is Negei Halacha L'maisa. This is Halacha L'maisa. The Kivega writes that if someone's a chayla, he can break his fast. Now we'll see, hopefully we'll get to it. It's an important nekuda. How early can you break your fast? If you hold the chayla is mekel because of an offshoot of the din of balbris, well, when does the balbris break his fast?
It should be first thing in the morning.
No, so the most paiskim hold that a balbris can only break his fast after chatzos.
Yeah, but why?
Why? That's a good question. The pashtus is as machloigis mechaber, the tushit is mechaber when you do the bris next Sunday.
Well, isn't there an Indian that asiri until chatzos is actually an
avelus
anyway?
Yeah, the question is that's probably minhagim, not mikra din.
But there's something to it.
There's something to it that we...
So even on a regular year...
Could be. Maybe that's the pshat. I thought the pshat was different. I thought the pshat was that... If you look into... Again, we're getting a little ahead of ourselves just because I know we're not going to get to it. But it's on the next page. The Mechaber has two shitas to when you make a bris on a Sunday like this. So first sheet that the Mechaber writes is you do it after kinnis. The second sheet is you wait till after Chatzos. So the Mishnah Berurah explains that the Shaila is like, we don't want to do it at 7 o'clock in the morning because that's like a big steer to kiddush. Like, you know, Malata, Bris, you know, sit on the floor and have kiddush. It's like, we want you to commemorate at least some part of it. So it sounds like that there's some inyan that even if you're talking going to be potter from the second half of the fast, we want you to at least commemorate the first half of the fast. Epis to
how
me,
does that go with,
Bitsa.
Isn't Zuzin the mitzvah, shouldn't that
yeah,
well,
at the end of the day? Here we don't say
that's a deraisa, no?
No, Zuzin, no, no.
No?
If I call Zuzi my Dima Mitzvah, then derisa. It's a hither, it's a nice thing. But it always goes up against other things.
Yeah, but when that depends on what, the way we learned, in other words, it's in the Mitzvah itself. Or it's
reason?
Yeah.
We said hither Mitzvah.
Right, so I'm just
wondering. I don't know if it's reason. I don't think it's reason. I don't know. I don't remember if it's reason's a Dima from the outside. I would find that Mr. Thomas is a general din. Zvizim Magdim and Mitzvah. We know Zvizim Magdim in the Gemara talks about, does it lose to Berevam Hadras Melech?
Right.
There are other Svaras that Zvizim loses out to. But in any case, I would think the same thing for a Chayil. Let's say you have a lady who's pregnant. But she can make it till Chatzos. Why should she eat at 9 o'clock in the morning? She should be like the Baal Bris. It's an important thing. People don't think about it. Again, obviously, if it's a Shiloh Sakana, we're not taking Sakana. But if it's not a Shiloh Sakana, I think a woman who has to break her fast should at least try to get till Chatzos. Not because what most people think, that it's an Indian to fast till Chatzos. No, because the Gantz and Mekor of a Chayleh is from the Din of Bris. And the Din of Bris is after Chatzos, so Ein Bayel Chadushay. I would think you have to do at least that much. Okay, yeah. We're getting ahead of ourselves. Yeah.
Here, there was a woman who published halachas, and it said, I was a little surprised, it said that this year, because of the nikah, this pregnant woman
That's a machoikas. Many achranim write like that. I saw some achranim write like that.
I thought it was only if the woman wasn't.
Yeah, that's the law should have been halacha, but I did see that they assumed that every mu'baris is a chaylik tas. Every mu'baris doesn't feel well. Yeah, maybe it depends on the girl. Depends on the woman. Okay, so let's do number five. Says Rav Asher Weiss, number five, Ach lefize soises a Shulchan Aruch es devarav. Rav Asher Weiss is convinced that this Shulchan Aruch is a steer. Why? Shavei chachnu b'shnei mekarish b'Shulchan Aruch d'ikar daite d'yem asir o'im b'tachz yom ha-tshi l'ikar o'im v'ovelatz o'im. Points out Rav Asher Weiss, we proved already from two different places in the Mechaber that the Mechaber holds that this year Tisha B'Av is Sunday. That he holds like the Rashba, that Tisha B'Av is Sunday. Like the Yavits, that you're allowed to be lenient and break the fast for a Baal Bris. It says Reb Asher Weiss is convinced that these two Mechabes can't work. It's a stira. If you hold like the Rajba that Tisha B'Av is really Sunday, then there's no good reason to why you're Mekel on a Bris that falls out on Sunday. Doesn't understand it. Therefore concludes Reb Asher Weiss, he thinks that these two Shulchan Aruchs are not linked to each other. Ubar hadavar da'afin nemar kisvar sarajba. Even if you hold like the Rajba, mikomokim yoim ze nitchahu v'kal tfei mitishaba b'ikazman. Points out, Rabbi Asher Weiss, you're going to have to say, even if you hold like the Rajba, that we uprooted Tishaba and made it Sunday, it's still going to have built-in leniencies. As I named Rabbi Asher Weiss. Meaning, because what's the kasha? The kasha is, if you hold that Tishaba was moved from Shabbos to Sunday, so why are we giving any leniencies? Says Rav Asher Weiss, no, you see from Mechaber, you have to say that, because if not, you have a steer in Mechaber.
So it's cool both ways. So
that's right.
Right.
That's right. Right, right. So he's saying it's not, right, he's saying it's not Tal Nechakir anymore.
So according to this Mechaber, so why can't you have Tashmish and Shabbos?
Mechaber holds you could have Tashmish and Shabbos.
Well, we don't pass in
the world. There are you can't. We're now in the Mechaber's world.
Right.
So Dr. Rav Asher Weiss, he's convinced. Mechaber's two shittas. He brings down two shittas.
So you're saying that it's pushed to Sunday.
He brings down two shittas in Shulchan
Aruch. Even though it's pushed to Sunday.
Yeah, that was part of Akasha we were bothered with last week. So how can he bring down two shittas? The Chayit should be told us ever there. So he brings down two shittas, the Mechaber. I think Lamaisa the Sfar, the Malaika, but it's not just the Shalaf of Sfar, it's the Shalaf of Ashkenazim. We spoke about this. It's the Shalaf of Ashkenazim also. Someone asked me, is there a Shulchan Aruch this week? I said, that's a very loaded question. Because the Ramah is not clear. You have to plug it into all the lumdas. And lamda sahi, lamda sahed, none of it's really mocha.
Why is relevant to Ashkenaz?
Because some place can hold, first of all, if someone makes a bris this week, how meekle you could be for the tispiris. Some place can hold that we're makbe not to cut nails during Shavu Shechalboi. Rav Moshe held, you're not allowed to shave for business during Shavu Shechalboi. So Rav Asher Weiss quotes the Ramah who says, for a siyam during Shavu Shechalboi, you should limit the amount of people you have. So that's this whole week. So that would be, that he's talking about in the Ramah, yeah. So that would be relevant. So the way we left off last week, we said that we think the Ramah holds there is a Shavu Shechalboi. But again, if you plug in all the lumdis, nothing is really 100%
mocha. But is the Shavu Shechalboi this week or next week?
No, this week.
That's what you get away
with. So Rav Asher Weiss is convinced that you can't make these two mechabers work. Rabbi Shavais is saying that if you hold, even if you hold like the Rashba, that we move Tisha B'Av from Shabbos to Sunday, it still can have leniencies. And the truth is, I found the same svara by Rav Moshe. The Sefer Mesoros Moshe, where Rav Moshe deals with this Shiloh, Rav Moshe basically says what Rabbi Shavais just told us. He looks at number 6, says Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe assumes for Dava Pashit that we move Tisha B'Av to Sunday. He doesn't think it's a tashlumin. He rejects that whole possibility. He doesn't think it's a tashlumin. He thinks we move Tisha B'Av from Shabbos to Sunday like the Rashba. I said, they asked Rav Moshe, Umasha Moitzim, Kama Kulas B'Yayim Asiri. So why are we Mekel on the Tisha B'Av Shenitche? If we move Tisha B'Av from Shabbos to Sunday, so it's a regular Tisha B'Av, why are we Mekel? So Rav Moshe writes like this, Misha Achesh, Shebishona, Regila, Nikva, B'Yayim Tshii, Chilku, Beinzer, Letisha B'Av, Rogel. So Rav Moshe basically makes light of the whole Shaila. Rav Moshe says, at the end of the day, it's not the right day. Lamdis ahi, lamdis ahe, Dr. Ramesha, it's not Tisha B'Av.
Isn't that the definition of
Nivka? Right, so Ramesha is telling us that he's not in the spot from the Kasha. Ramesha is basically telling us what Rosh Hashanah just told us. That at the end of the day, with all your lamdis, it's still not really Tisha B'Av. Male Dr. Ramesha, that's what we'll make. So both Ramesha and Rosh Hashanah are not concerned with our Kasha.
Even with that backdrop,
right.
And
now, exactly. Right, everything's Gishmak now. Now, it's interesting, Rabbi Yerucha Molshin goes a completely different path. Completely different mahalach in this mechaber. So if we were to stop right here, we have one mahalach in the mechaber. This mahalach is that the mechaber agrees with the Rashba. That Tisha B'Av, when it falls on a Shabbos, his mom's lifted from Shabbos to Sunday. And that's why maybe there is Shavuot Shechal B'Av, it's not Shavuot Shechal B'Av. And that's why there's no Issa Tashmish. We had a kasha, why we make off for the bris? The answer is because that's what it means when you're moving Tisha B'Av. At least the way Rabbi Shavuot and Ramosha want to say it. Comes along Yerucha Molshin and says the exact opposite. Says Yerucha, no. I'm convinced that the Mechaber does not hold like the Rashba. I'm sorry, I'm convinced that the Mechaber holds like the Rashba. One second. If the Mechaber holds like the Rashba, what are we left Shver with? What do we do with the Mincha, with the Milo? Says Yerucha like this, number 7. Me'ato nire lo'imad ho'desvila Mechaber kidas ha'rashba de'in dvorim shebitzim enoig b'Shabbos. So one second. If you hold that it was moved, and that's why there's no Dvarim Shabbatzina, Mishum Sheikru Tisha B'Av Mitisha L'Gamri V'Okmu L'Asiru K'Yemi Shereu B'Shalecha Nisra L'Gamri Sok Tu Abiruchim Ze'enoi Elo L'Inyin Din Avelos De Tisha B'Av. Abiruchim goes back to this Biskarov that we mentioned last week. The Biskarov says Tisha B'Av has two elements. It has Avelos, and it also has Tainus. Two elements. A regular fast, they may only have Tainus. Tisha B'Av is made up of two components. It has Avelos, and it has Tainus also. Memela Zogti Birucham like this. So he says a Gavalda Gechidish. The din Avelos neka legami biyomachi, the nikva ba'asi rishabon nisra for Bishalich. Says Yibirucham, the Machaber holds like this. The Avelos of Tisha B'Av is only Sunday. Like the Rashba. That we move to Sunday. Ulafichach ain't din Avelos ma'im b'shabbos kalafiyad v'amish b'tinna. Now we understand why the Machaber says you'll have Tashmish. Because the din of Tashmish is a toitso of Avelos. Not Tainus, it's Avelos. So he moved Avelos to Sunday. Good. Ulefichach ein dini Avelos noigim Shabbos kal afil dvam shabbatzina. Now I'd rather have a shtickle kasha and a biruchim. I would argue why. We find Avelos b'Shabbos. I mean, what pushed him to move the Avelos over and not say you could have Avelos on Shabbos? Because Motzano Avelos b'Shabbos. We have Avelos b'Shabbos. Every Avel who sits Shiva has Avelos b'Shabbos. B'tzina. Meaning, what was the push to say that we had to move the Avelos from Shabbos to Sunday instead of saying like the Ramah that we left the Avelos where it was and kept Torah Mishabbat Sinah?
You want to have the full Avelos.
So what I think is because of Yerucham found the Russian Tainus. The Russian Tainus says that the only reason why we're knowing Avelos but Sinah on Shabbos is only for a Avelos Chadasha. Meaning a real Avel that's a strong sense of mourning that we keep on Shabbos. But Avelos Yishana we don't bother with on Shabbos. So Yerucham had that Russian in the back of his mind. And therefore when he came to the Mechaber, he said that's Pshat in the Mechaber. Or at least one possibility in the Mechaber. That the Mechaber holds there's no motivation for us to keep our veils
and
Shabbos.
And the Tainus is tied to the date, which is now...
Sokhtib Yeruchim, what about the Tainus? So now, we accept the first part. Now, I'll just point out that I think this is where the Ramah argues on the Mechaber. The Ramah holds, no, the Avelos we keep on Shabbos. And whatever you keep like Dvarim Shabbatzinah. This is the point where the Mechaber and the Ramah goof argue. I want to learn that both the Mechaber and the Ramah agree to the Briskerov. As weird as that sounds, because they both lived, 400 years before the Biskarov. But I want to say that both the Mechab and the Ramah agree to the Biskarov that there's two dinim on Tisha B'Av, Tainus and Avelos. What the Mechab and the Ramah are arguing, which one of those two dinim got pushed off to Sunday, and which one stayed on Shabbos. That's the Machlokes Mechab and the Ramah. So how does that work? Says Rabbi Yerucham, ulefichach ein dinei avelus lo yigim b'shabbos afilu dvarim shebetzina. Ma she'ein kein din hatainis de Tisha B'Av lo neka mitchi ela nitcha mitchi ulo'olam le'inyin din hatainis dina k'mo kol tainis shenitcha. But the tainis, whatever is neveh from the tainis, that they didn't uproot and move to Sunday, that they left on Shabbos and pushed it off to Sunday. So very good. So one second. So let's just get this out. Ela the kiva she efshel san b'shabbos doichnes le'im rishon. So let's accept the Birochim's notion for a second. Let's work this out. Zok de Birochim, it comes out that the tainis part they left on Shabbos, and the avelus part they moved to Sunday. Now I would have thought the opposite. I would have thought the tainis you would leave. I would have thought the tainis you would push to Sunday and avelus. And again, that's what the Ramah holds. That's what the Ramah holds. But Rabbi Yerucham is working in the Mechaber's world. According to the Mechaber, they moved the avelus to Sunday. They kept the tainis. So why is that relevant for us? In Kane's Zok de Birochim, when you want to know, is a Baal Bris allowed to eat on Sunday? What's Achila? That's not a din in Avelis. Achila is a din in Tainis. The Tainis is about the Nitche. It's a Tainis Nitche. No one's arguing. The male, that's why a Baal Bris is allowed to eat on Sunday. You asked me, so then why is there a head to Tashmish? Because Tashmish comes from the Avelis. The Avelis was not going to push the move to Sunday.
This all works great, but how did you get there?
Yeah.
Working backwards from
right. This is his chiddush. He wants to assume. Now, again, I would have thought the Ramah is much more logical that the avails we kept in the tainus we moved.
Because you're moving things to places where they can't work.
Correct.
You're right. Meaning that sure, you put the tainus is on Shabbos, so you can't have it. So you did. And the avails is on Sunday, so you could do that. But you could have also kept it on Shabbos.
Right. 100%. Now here's the gevaldik
kudin.
Good. Now let's work this out. Comes out according to Rabbi Yerucham like this. If a boy were to get bar mitzvah on Tisha B'Av Sunday, what would he have to keep?
Wait, Tisha B'Av Sunday?
Yeah. It's only the avelus. Come out the strangest thing. To come out the boy would be allowed to eat, but not allowed to wear leather shoes. Take a look at number 8, Evan Yisrael, Dayan Fisher, writes his halacha l'maisa. Zok Dayan Fisher, number 8. Ulefi zenira de kotin shenasa godla b'yem Tisha B'Av anitche, betayin is vade potter. He's allowed to eat. Kibun da hadin tainus umidin tashlumen. The kibun da veikar ayayim hu kotel and eschayim tashlumen. Masha enki bedin yaveles. Kibun da vechiv atzmi bevada yesh lechiv kachol Yisrael. And Rabbi Yerucham agrees to this. Rabbi Yerucham says it comes out according to his lamdas, if you accept it, that we moved the aveles but the tainus was left. It comes out a very strange thing. It comes out if a boy becomes bar mitzvah on Sunday, so he's allowed to eat, but he's not allowed to wear leather shoes. Because the Avelis part, we moved to Sunday. Sunday, he's showing up by mitzvah. But the Tainus part was left from Shabbos. He didn't have it on Shabbos. He doesn't have it on Sunday. Very, very strange turn of events. If you're a Sfadi, right? If you're Ashkenazi, we still don't know where you left. Now, it's interesting, just very b'kitzer, that's Adkan HaSugya Lefi HaLomdus. Now, if you're curious, what's the Halacha L'maisa? So very quickly, take a look over in number 10. Rav Moshe Paskin's Mefurish, number 10, he writes in the third, he says, "Umemela kotish and zgadol bavadim mechoyv la'asanas basiri kichol gadol." Rav Moshe thinks it's pashut that you are chayiv to fast. If you look at Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, he writes something very interesting. He writes, "Uleinin kotish shehigdol b'yud ba'av ay b'yudchas b'tamuz ukedoyim meshachal b'shabbos b'yemal b'yem aleph u'tanis nitche shelestapku achrein manat shorim chayiv la'asanas kiven desoyif kosov hashto gadol hu or kiven desashlum b'dishabbos v'kati kotler b'ader omer Rabbeinu." Said Rav Shlomo Zalman, the hasvara noite yoise the potter. Logic dictates that he should be potter. From the time this nitre he began the tashlumin. It's very strange. When we came out of the sugya, we did not come out without a conclusion. We saw that most achrenim were leaning the opposite, that it's not a tashlumin. Here Rav Shlomo Zalman felt that the leading argument is that it is a tashlumin. Ulam lamaisa lo yichri bezeh. Rav Shlomo Zalman didn't want to pass it. If you take a look over and say, "V'kayvus halachos b'rayv kleinun," he writes, "Kotin shehegdav echav b'shabbos shechal b'tanis nitche yesh loy lehesanis im yochol." He should fast if he could, which was the opinion of Rabbi Yashiv as well. But again, in lumnus, how you get to that is a rather long journey. Now take a look at the next page.
If he could is kosher, I'm suffering.
Right, meaning I'm not willing to make a kid. Exactly. Right, meaning. And if he's not feeling well, you should tell him to break the fast.
Not literally.
No. He means the kid was having a hard time fasting. Yeah. Now, I thought the next shtickle that I found here was somewhat humorous. I found on one of the Jewish websites, they had a few weeks ago, the Satmar Rebbe went to Waterbury, and he gave a shir. And they posted the shir. So I figured, you know, I never really heard that. The Heintik is not Merev. Not Reb Yoel. I don't remember which one of the two brothers. I don't remember which one. Reb Zalman, maybe? I don't remember. So I figured, let me listen a little bit. I'll listen to what he has to say.
He spoke in Yiddish. And the kids in Waterbury understood it?
I don't know exactly what was going on. So I listened to the last few minutes, and he clears the Hakira. Because he was talking about Tisha B'Av Shenitcha. I figured maybe I'll get some material for the shir. So he clears the Hakira. And I was laughing when I heard the Hakira, but I shouldn't have laughed. It was a real Hakira. He clears the Hakira like this. He wants to know, when Mashiach comes, which day is going to be the happy day? The Tisha B'Av on the calendar? But the day that we keep Tisha B'Av, the Hainu Yud Off, it's a Chakir from the Satmar Rebbe. Which day is really the day that
Mashiach is coming this week?
Mashiach will come this year, right? So we know that the Navi tells us Tisha B'Av is Lahapach L'Sasim L'Simcha. Does it mean the Tisha B'Av on the calendar, or does it mean the day that we commemorate Tisha B'Av? So I would think.
Why is there a problem for the
Bobi? Right. So I would have thought.
The Simcha. What's the problem?
So I saw that Reb Elyahu Baruch Finkel, who's definitely not Hasidish, he clears the same shayla. He writes in number 13. We know the Navi promises us that Tisha B'Av will eventually be a happy day. Right? In Mitzvah we're going to have many years where we're going to have Tisha B'Av that's going to be a happy day. So what day are we going to celebrate? Are we going to celebrate it on the 9th of Av on the calendar? Or we're going to celebrate it on the day we would have kept it if it would be still applicable? That's the Chakir. So the Satmar Rebbe
claims. If it's a Simcha, it's not an Nitzah.
It's that day.
I would have thought the pshat is that. What's the
calendar?
Why is it no more calendar?
Aren't there going to be Kiddush HaKodesh?
Yeah, so we're still going to have days. We're going to have the night.
Yeah, so it's not going to be like. It'll be what it will be.
That's the very. The easy answer. I'm not disagreeing with you. Right. No, but I would have thought, very posh, I would have thought that what day gets Nepach, the day that's the sad day. But my said, Shabbos Shecholiyos B'Tisha B'Av is not exactly a sad day, Shabbos. We have a little bit cut back on a few things. The major day of sadness is Sunday. So I would have thought that's the day that we should celebrate on.
Is that for future years?
Yeah, future years.
It's like Rav Moshe said, it's the night
that
happens to be rules about Shabbos.
So that's the Shabbos. You're right. Yesh L'Stapik. B'Tisha B'Av Shecholiyos B'Shabbos, Eim Masai Yeh says Rabbi Yo Baruch HaChiddush. He thinks it's partial that the Shabbos is going to be the day that we celebrate.
Yeah.
Why? Even though according to the Rashba, we move Tisha B'Av to Sunday. Meaning, why is Tisha B'Av not Shabbos? Because Tisha B'Av can't be Shabbos because Tisha B'Av is a steer to Shabbos. But Tzalsa V'Simcha is not a Shabbos. Therefore, argues Reb Yoel Baruch, he thinks that we're going to keep it on Shabbos.
And why don't you have a problem with two in Marvin Simcha B'Simcha?
Because it's by B'Yayim. It's the same reason if you have Shabbos, it falls out on Yom Tov. You got to do it.
Well, you can say like for him, 2 days, 3 days.
I would have thought, not like him, I would have thought it should be Sunday, my personal opinion. He writes, Yesh L'Hoysef, Da'afilu L'Haraj Moshe B'Tishav Shechol B'Shabbos, Kavo Ha'atayin Z'Likah B'Asiri Yazashir, Yubish L'Echa B'Nisraf, Ve'ezim Edit Ha'shlumin. Frank, what about if you hold like the Rajbo? The Rajbo holds that whenever Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, this year Tisha B'Av is really Sunday. So if Tisha B'Av is really Sunday, we should celebrate Sunday. He says, but when they switch it to make it a Yom Tif, then they're going to go back to the real day. Okay, I would have thought not.
It's only when Shabbos and Tu
Bekum. That's correct. That's correct.
You have to move. They're not in conflict.
That's his argument. So I would have thought a very different Lundus. I would have thought the day that Klai Yisrael for thousands of years commemorated a sad day becomes happy. So go through the days. Which days were sad? Sunday, not Shabbos. That's what I would have guessed. You know, if you're asking me. Exactly. What day that would have been sad. That's the way I understand the Navi, right?
And it would have been
That's what I would have paskin. But it's not a gay, but okay. I don't remember if Samar ever answers. He clears the Hakir. I don't know if he gives a riot.
Oh, so that's within the whole Lumbus.
Exactly.
Is it the date or is it the observer?
That's right. That's why I brought it in. That's why I brought this piece in. Now it gets even more geschmack. He clears another Hashayl. Mr. Pakti. Let's say Mashiach shows up this Matzah Shabbos. Good. What do we have to make up the fast?
Why should you? You're done.
If they moved it to Sunday, let's say it's a tashlumin.
Yeah, but it's only a tashlumin if you were at the fest. And now we know we're we're not.
You can't say who's double mafreya. On Shabbos, you had the fest.
Okay, yes, now we know that.
The kat itzarek l'hashem chiyuv atarnish l'atmoil. The autumn mishum debar mashiach poke chiyuv tashlumin. You're assuming that just because Mashiach comes, you don't have to make up. No, you still have to make up. So if Shabbos was a fast day, so then I should have to make it up. So he writes, the need oz vadiyah simchav l'shaach avil. Don't worry. If Mashiach comes on Shabbos, they're not going to make you fast Sunday. Hmm. Even if you hold it as a tashlumen. It won't be that day. He writes, that's right. He writes, he uses the grizz the other way. That if Tisha B'Av gives you also a din tainus, so that tainus has to be made up. Okay, so again, this should be telling our same chakira. He's saying that even though Lamaisa, we don't fast on Shabbos, but it is a Yom HaTainus. But this should be telling the chakira.
Even if you need to make up the fast, you can't fast on the day that Mashiach comes.
No, that's what he says. He points it out. He says that. That's right. So again, halavai, we should deal with the Shabbos Halacha Lamaisa, but the point is, it's all telling the chakira. Good. Now we finish. I think that Maples was. I think so. Okay, now let's get back to what I wanted to get to now. Let's talk a little bit about the actual halacha of a bris on Tisha B'Av. It's a more ridiculous concept. Where does it come from? It comes from the Torah. Not just
the
Torah.
Wants to be the Sandik. We actually had a friend who had a bris in Nitka. Can't tell you how many calls he got there. Please be the Sandik. You know?
She reminded him that the minute used to be.
The Sandik that holds
it can be a Sandik moment. No, the Mishnah got it right. It's got to only be those three. But one way to become a Sandik is if you pay for the bris. So
That's old school. No,
that's the way it used to be. Used to be.
And now you pay for it and you don't get Sandik.
That's the way it used to be. It was the Sandik used to pay for the bris. That's why the Sandik was the one. Okay. That's where you roll. You know?
No, paint it.
Okay. So let's hear what I say. We have over here an interesting halacha brought down not only in the tour, but brought down in many, many Rishonim. Brought down in Tosfos and Erevin, brought down in the Tashvitz, Tosfos Yishonim, Mordechai. The following story. Number one. Ma'isa shechal Tisha B'Av b'Shabbos v'nitcha ad l'machrasa. Like this year. V'hoyu Rabbeinu Yaivitz. Now this Yaivitz is not Rabbi Yaakov Emden. Who was this Yaivitz? So to the best of my knowledge, there's three Yaivitzes that are famous. One was Rabbi Yaakov Emden, 1700s. Rabbi Yaakov Emden, we know about him. Then there was a Yaivitz who lived during the Spanish Inquisition. During 1492, and he wrote a sefer about his experiences during the Inquisition. That's another Yaivitz. Then we have this Yaivitz. This Yaivitz, according to one version, his father was Rashi's Rebbe. So that tells you how far back we're going. We're going mamish 1000 Be'erich, ballpark. Rashi was born in the year. Rashi was born earlier than that.
No,
Rashi was born in the tens. Rashi was born in the tens.
10:15.
Because Rashi was around. Rashi was already 40 during the Crusades.
A.M. or P.M.
No, I know because of recess.
Because Rashi was around during the Crusades, so Rashi was already born in the 1000s. So this fellow's father was Rashi's Rebbe, so you got to figure he's around the same time as Rashi, give or take. This Yaivitz. So why does he tell us a story? He was a Baal Bris. He made a Bris on a Tisha B'Av Shenitche. V'espalo mincha be'oyre yom gadol. He davened mincha early. V'rochat, he took a shower. V'lehishlum tanisa, and he did not finish the fast. V'fishu yom tov shalai hoyo.
It was
1040 Rashi was born.
Oh.
Yeah, because 1096, Rashi was already 50. He was a.
It was 1040.
He was an adult already during the First Crusade.
A while ago.
Rashi wasn't affected directly by the First Crusade, but Rashi was around during the First Crusade. Okay, so what happened over here? So this Rabbeinu Yaivitz decided to end the fast for him earlier. What was his raya? What was his smach? The raya Mahodatanya. He brought a raya for Gemara and Irvin. The Gemara in Erevin says, "Omer Rabbi Lozer ben Tzadik, ani yisi b'nei Sanoi ben Binyamin. I was part of the family of Sanoi ben Binyamin. The Chal Tisha B'Av u b'Shabbos, and that year Tisha B'Av fell on Shabbos. V'nidachinu ad la'achar Shabbos, and we pushed it off to Sunday. V'hesanu boy, and I fasted. V'lo yishleminu, but I didn't fast the whole day. B'nei shiyamtiv shalonu haya. It was my yamtiv. What is going on over here?" The Gemara in Erevin says there used to be, based on the Gemara in Tainus, there used to be families that had the right to bring the wood for the karbonis. And the day that your family brought the wood, it was a big celebration. So the Gemara says in Erevin, same Gemara family, Mesechas Tainus, that one family, their day to bring the wood was Tisha B'Av, which was Shabbos. They didn't bring the wood on Shabbos, so they brought it on Sunday. So they decided that since today we're bringing the wood, it's a Yom Tov, we're not fasting Tisha B'Av the whole day. Says the Yaivitz, oh good. So if that's good enough for them, it's good enough for me. That's where the Yaivitz got it from. So now we have a lot of questions over here. First of all, who told them that they had the right to do it? Again, the Yaivitz borrowed a Gemara. The Gemara said a story where a family that brought their wood for the Karbanis, and that day is a Yom Tov for them, and therefore they decided they're not fasting the whole Tisha B'Av. So talk to Yaivitz, well, if they did that, I could do that on my son's bris. Is that a fair comparison?
Sure.
Why?
It's a
Yom Tov.
It's a fair comparison.
Is it possible that a bris is a
Yom
Tov?
Yeah.
Really? So we learned Rebbe Loz Demila, and we mutched with this kasha, actually. If everyone remembers, on the first page of Loz Demila, we tried to figure out a good mekar for Sudas Bris Mila, and we didn't really come up with one. Yaakov Emden himself, which we'll see later, comes up with a smach, but the really good mekar, there is no good mekar. So it's a funny thing, actually. But
what do you mean that it's deraisa?
Yeah, deraisa. Where do you see it's a Yom Tov? Where do you see it's a Yom Tov?
Mechaben Ramah said.
Yeah, well, they got it from the Yaivitz, but who gave it to the Yaivitz? We got to go back, right? Now, here it's even more shver. Now you got to ask yourself.
What do you mean? You don't say Tachnun, it must be Yom Tov.
Yeah, you don't think Tachlin during a lot of other times, doesn't mean it's always a Yom Tov. But the Shaila is, this is even more troubling to me, because again, the Yaivitz got it from a Gemara. We don't understand the Gemara, we don't understand the Yaivitz, and then the Kivega used that for a Chayla. You see how we trickle down over here? From one Gemara that talked about a family bringing wood, we ended up with a Chayla not feeling well, breaks the fast and Tishrei Shinitz. How do we get there? But why?
It's the mice and not Tisha B'Av. At the end of the day, isn't there a Gemara that says that one Rav wanted to...
Yeah, we have to come back to the Gemara. We have to come back to that Gemara. Good. So let's see. So the Gevuras Ari, also known as the Shagas Arya, number two, he's bothered with the Pasha de Kasha. Koshali. Hayom tif de carbon ate some ain element rabbanon. There's Gantz a celebration that when you brought a carbon on the day that your family brought the wood, it's not their right, so. It's a de rabbanon. Eich dochi le tainis Tisha B'Av to have a medivik abo. It's not a Kasha. The Yaivis brought a Rai from a Gemara. The Gemara said that the day that the family brought the wood was a Yom Tov for them. What gave them the right to make it a Yom Tov? The day that your family brings the carbon is Nishkin Yom Tov der Raisa. It's a Derabbanan. And listen to this. Says the Shagas Arya, Tisha B'Av is Medivri Kabbalah. It's a notch above. The Choshev Per Kamad Rosh Hashanah Kedivri Torah the Inya Isilif Neim Lachareim Deina Tzorechiz. So Frek, the verse I refrek the Shagas Arya, what gave the Gemara, what gave the family the right to be Mekel just because their family brought the Karbon Eitzim?
Is Divrei Kabbalah even nowadays? We say it depends on Shalva or not.
Very good. That's his teretz. Says the Shagas Ari, says the Gevuras Ari, Miu Bahode Bechal Tisha B'Av B'Shabbos, Hode Misanen Acha Shabbos, Eine Ele Medrabbonon. Says the Gevaltik Chiddush. Says the Shagas Ari, if a person eats on Tisha B'Av on a regular year, he breaks an Ovi. When he eats on a Tisha B'Av Shenitcha, he only breaks a Drabbonon. The whole level gets knocked down. The Mele is up to Shagas Arya. It's very geschmack.
Why?
Oh, this is our question. The assumption of the Gevuras Ari is what we've been discussing for 2 weeks. He assumes for a Dover Pashit that on a Tisha B'Av Shenitcha it gets lowered down. Why? We had a Reb Chaim last week. Reb Chaim said that doesn't even say anyway you have to fast on the 9th. It's just a din in the Chodesh. So I don't know where the Shagas Arya knew that a Tisha B'Av Shecholis B'Shavit gets knocked down to a Derabon. He brings a raya. Let's see his raya. He brings a raya. He says Kedam Rinon beperakam de Megillah. To me, high time, but Bikish Rebbe Laka Tisha B'Av Shechal B'Shabbos v'Nitcha Lacha Shabbos. Famous Gemara. The Gemara says the Rebbe 1 year wanted to push away Tisha B'Av. Why? Because Tisha B'Av fell on a Shabbos. Rebbe said, let's scratch the whole thing. So the Agav, an interesting Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer says, I don't get it. If Tisha B'Av fell out on Shabbos that year, you know what else fell out on Shabbos? Shavuos B'Tammuz. So why does Rebbe first wake up by Tisha B'Av and not by Shavuos B'Tammuz? So the Chassam Sofer comes up with a Mori to the Chiddush. The Chassam Sofer says Shavuos B'Tammuz was more chomer. There's no way to move to be oikir Shavuos B'Tammuz. But Tisha B'Av Rebbe thought to be oikir.
So what? Did he hold you fast on Shabbos?
No. He wasn't going to be oikir at Lagamri. Meaning Rebbe wanted to do away with the whole Tisha B'Av. I mean, once we're not doing this matter, we don't do it at all. But Shavuos B'Tammuz, that he knew he couldn't do. Which is so opposite of what we would have thought.
Why don't you say it's a Kal V'Chomer?
That's the other way of saying it.
Din in the day because of the Novi, I think it says
Tishbev also
doesn't give the date of
Shavuos
B'Tammuz.
Or Tishbev.
None of
it says about.
No, but
right. It's Chaim's point. That's the only one that says Sarvatevis. That's the only one that they give a date. That's the famous Bahagin Davud Raham. So this is his teretz. So this Shagas Arya I find very geschmack, but it's really not so posh. based on everything we've been talking about for 2 weeks, I don't know if this Shai Gisai is so agreed. Shai Gisai assumes that when Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos and it's moved to Sunday, it gets knocked down a level. It's no longer Medivin Avi, it's now only Midrabban. I would think that's debatable. I would think, first of all, the Rashba would disagree with that. Now I think Reb Chaim disagrees with that. Reb Chaim would say that just because Tisha B'Av is not a din in the day, Tisha B'Av is always a din in the month.
Is this because Rebbe would have abolished it completely? So
that's his right. That's his right.
Therefore, it's on the books because it was a din the Rabbah.
Right. That's his right. Again,
it's also interesting. We actually had a bris in the shul. I think it on the day after Shabbat Shabbatavas.
Right.
And the bris was done at night, and nobody ate, beforehand. So they didn't even use the kula that you have for this coming week.
That's correct. So in Halacha L'Maisa, I didn't put it on the paper. Halacha L'Maisa, a lot of contemporary places do not allow people to eat on the Tisha B'Av Shechal B'Shabbos, Kol Shekein and any other fast day. Chazon Ish was adamantly against it. He thought that's not accepted practice. Even though Mr. Bruce sounds like it is. We'll talk a little bit about Halacha L'Maisa, but
I'm saying, in other words, this supports the fact that Shabbos of the Thomas seems to be more chamer because nobody holds that you could go ahead on a nidcha and eat, right?
Yeah, that's a question.
And we had that sure. 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago.
Right. It's very strange, because if you hold that Tisha B'Av, you should call Shkenzhu and Zams. Right, 100%. Now, there's a shtickel kash over here that everyone should ask themselves. You're telling me now that Gemara tells me that there was a family that was bringing the wood for the Karbanos, and they were keeping Tisha B'Av. I don't get it. Was the Beis HaMikdash open or closed?
Wait, it's on the first.
Oh.
It's on the first.
So which Beis HaMikdash are we talking about?
This Maisa was on the first or
second.
Right. If it's on the first, it's a kasha. If it's on the second, it's not.
But there's two kashas. If you hold that this story took place during Bayi Sheni, so the question was, during Bayi Sheni, did they keep Tisha B'Av?
Obviously. Yeah.
So if you hold, yes, but it's a big machalikis b'Sheni. Big machalikis b'Sheni, whether or not during Bayi Sheni they kept Tisha B'Av. The Rambam Shita and Pirsha Mishnayis, number 4, the Rambam held they did keep Tisha B'Av.
Rebbe was alive only after the...
Right. But the question was, did they keep Tisha B'Av during Bayi Sheni? Now, the truth is, Rabbi Soloveitchik writes this in the Kinnis, that even during Bayi Sheni, this is his lashon, is that they were just waiting for the other shoe to drop. Meaning, even during Bayi Sheni, no one thought that this is going to last forever. They knew Bayi Sheni was a temporary experience. It was missing too many things. There was various kalim that were hidden, and half the Jewish people didn't come back, which no one talks enough about. People forget that you think that after they got message that Bayi Sheni is being built, everyone would move back. Everyone stayed put. They said exactly where they were. That's one of the reasons they say for the Spanish Inquisition, because Jews lived in Spain, they didn't want to come back. They're okay, they're happy. Jews in Germany didn't want to come back. Jews in a lot of places, they don't want to come back. You can imagine someone comes to say, well, we're moving, everyone's moving to Israel. Well, I'm not interested. I like it here. So it was just a very strange thing to have not all the Jewish people living in Israel. But Lamaisa, the Rambam, Pirshei Mishnayis, number 4, Paskins, that during Bayi Sheni they did keep Tisha B'Av. So then the Gemara is very geshmak. However, there's a Tosfos in Tainus number 3. Tosfos says, no, this story took place after the Chorban. Meaning the family still kept the Yom Tov, even though there was no Yom Tov, because what are you bringing? You're bringing wood to the Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash was burnt. But it meant that was the day my family brought it, so I still commemorated that
day. It's like a Yom Tov, you just
keep it going. Now, there's a problem with this. Why? If you learn like the Rambam, that the story took place during Bayi Sheni, so I would imagine that the Tisha B'Av during Bayi Sheni is not like the Tisha B'Av we have today. It was probably more watered down, because Lamaisa there was a Beis HaMikdash. So maybe the whole story is only true when you have a watered down Tisha B'Av. But how do you have a right to apply to a Tisha B'Av today and still be Mekel? If you hold like Tosfos, it's very geshmak. We're in the same playing field. We're both after the Chorban. But if you hold like the Rambam, that we're talking about during Bayi Sheni, so you have to assume that the Avelos of Tisha B'Av and Bayi Sheni was somewhat more calm than a regular year. So then how could I use that now to say, well, in a regular year, I could be Mekel for a bris? That should be somewhat of a problem. Okay, that's a technical problem. Let's go to number 5. Let's see a Rambam Hilchos Klei HaMikdash. Look the Rambam. Umahu Karban Eitzim. What is this Karban Eitzim? What is this all about? Look the Rambam. Zman Kavu Hayu L'Mishpachos Mishpachos Lotzeis L'Yorim. There were families had established time to go to the forest. L'Havi Eitzim L'Maracha. To bring back wood for the Mizbeach. The Yom Shiagil of Ne Mishpacha Zula Havi Eitzim, and the day that it was your family's day, Hayimakriven Oilos Nedova, used to bring Karbonis. The Zehu Karbon Eitzim. And that's what it means, Karbon Eitzim. Vayolahem Kimo Yom Tov. It was like a Yom Tov. 1 second. Kimo Yom Tov, and that's strong enough to beat out Tisha B'Av. Strange. Zakti Rambam Vasurim Ba Beheshbud of Atinus. And those days, they weren't allowed to have eulogy and fast days. Ubasias Malach, you couldn't go to work that day. The davar zeh minhag, but the whole thing is a minhag. One second. This whole carbon eitzim is a minuk. Now the kasha is even stronger.
How do you make it into?
How does that beat out Tisha B'Av Shenitcha? Again, the Gvur Sari told me it's a derabbanan, and therefore the derabbanan versus the derabbanan they cancel out. But now the Rambam's calling it a minug. If it's a minug, how can a minug beat out a Tisha B'Av Shenitcha?
Maybe it's a minug, but for him himself, it's a yontif.
Just like, but the Rambam says the dove is a minug, right?
Yeah, but for my family, it's for.
Who else is it going to be a minute for? Not for the guy who's bringing the wood, right? So what's the geshmak away out of this Rambam? Rambam l'shitas. Why? Because the Rambam learns the whole story is when? During Bayis Sheni. During Bayis Sheni, maybe the Rambam held that the Tisha B'Av that we kept was like a minute. It was watered down. So now it's minig versus minig, and we can live with it. But if you learn Kipshuta that we're talking about even afterwards, so we have a minig up against, we'll call it a derabbanan. How can a minig beat out a derabbanan? It's a lashapel. So if you take a look over number 6, I honestly don't know the Nisi Kalim on Klei HaMikdosh, I apologize. Lechem Mishnah, one of them. I don't remember which one. Minukul, right?
There's a minukul. Well, it's not like you're so Nevi'im, Minu Nevi'im.
Right.
But it's done on Shabbos. So does that violate any Drabonans? I mean, that would be another example of
minukul. Okay. So let's see the kasha. Yeah. Chavitas HaRov. What we do on Hashanah Rabbah. No, but they did in the Gemara.
The Beis Mikdash.
What do you mean by our Rabbah is the Beis Mikdash?
When they went around. That's also my
thought. Yeah, okay. But let's take a look at number 6. Oy dani teima b'masha kosev d'zman aitzik kohen masha asru b'esbu v'tayin su minuk. V'loy min adin. Dabba very common, the tayin is amin omar v'lozev and tzadik anim v'nei. He goes to the whole Gemara. He says, v'al korchoch yamit d'isr tayin is ein el minuk. Echi tochin shenitcha tayin is utakamis l'chamim. And they are minug. Arkasha. How can the Rambam say that the whole Zman, the whole after Kehanim is only a minug, but at least fasting on Sunday would at least be a Takanas Chachamim? So how can a minug be that Takanas Chachamim? Very strong kasha. So you take a look over here, Rav Asher Weiss quotes him a Sefi Ira Shloim. I don't know what that is and I don't have the Sefer, but he quotes a very interesting chap. Maybe we read the Rambam wrong. Let's go back to the Rambam number 4. What does the Rambam say? What's the carbon eitzim? So the day where the family was chosen, they would bring the wood. They would bring karbonis. It was like a yomtif. They were not allowed to have hesped v'tainis, and not allowed to have v'dovah z'minig. What is v'dovah z'minig going back on? Is v'dovah z'minig going back on the entire phrase of the Rambam? Or maybe only some part of the Rambam?
The last thing.
Oh, no.
Going to work.
Oh, so he writes like this. The Yiriya Shloimeh says, the chol ikar mesiras carbon eitzim l'mishpachas, mishpachas minigu. Zeh kavanis Rambam. Meaning the whole idea, the beginning part of the Rambam was the minhag. The part is that when your family brings a carbon, you got chosen and you got to bring a carbon. That's a minhag. But the part that it's a yomtif, that's real.
That doesn't read well.
Doesn't read well at all. Now, why doesn't it read well? Because take a look at number 8. There's a Rambam in the next Rambam, Halacha Yud. Even an individual who wants to donate, that day he's also asked to have hesped, tainus, and do malacha. The dove is a minuk. So what do you see from the Rambam? The minuk part is what? Is the treating of a yomtiv is the minuk. Not the part that you get to bring a carbon or the fact that you were chosen. The minuk part is the fact that you are not allowed to do malacha. So the kasha is back to square one. If the Rambam holds this whole yomtif of Eitzim is only a minug, how can a minug beat out a takanas chazal? Very, very strong question. Now, this is a kasha on the Gemara, but more so, it's really a kasha on the Yavits. Who gave the Yavits the right to assume that I can compare a bris to carbon Eitzim? So if you take a look in the She'ilas Yavits, not the same person, Yaakov Emden writes like this. He has major issues with this Yavitz. He says, "The mikore he gufa kasha lemis machaleh dahider blazber tzadik lekula gabinil." He says, "We're mamish comparing apples and oranges." Good. We have a problem with the Gemara in Irvin. Yes, we do. We're not going to get to it today. But that's a Gemara. The Gemara says, "The day you brought your carbon eitzim, that day you were allowed to treat it as a yomtiv." And from that Gemara, the Yavitz jumped and compared it to a meal. Frek the Yavitz, the loy domi yomtiv the carbon eitzim shu shone b'mishnah v'nismach halakosav. That's a mishnah. Based on a pasuk, Masha Enki Biyim Hamila Sheinim Afurish B'Shem Mokum Loi B'Teresh B'Ksav Loi B'Teresh B'Apesh Yinuk Yomtiv. Freki Yavendin, I don't get it. Nania, I'll give you somehow, some way. The day you bring a carbon becomes a yomtiv. If you don't find it by a bris mila, where do you find that? Sell him Matzonu. Doesn't show it's a Yom Tov. It shows he's supposed to do the Maisa Amilu.
But you see such a Hashivas to the Mitzvah that it's Nidka Shabbos where so many other things are not.
That again, it doesn't make it into a Yom Tov for the Issa Asiyas Malach. Yeah, yeah, Fashteh.
Gevaldik. Like, that's why he says Yom Tov Shalmanu.
Yeah, yeah. But again, you have to have a halachic basis for making up a Yom Tov. So he writes, Rak ba'agadito matzinu derech remez ba'alma smach l'suda sh'os avram avini b'yom higomol es b'noi zulaz lo nimso shum remez. It's an amazing thing. People make such a big deal about the Suda's Bris, and everyone, you know, good, fine, very nice. But the Maaseh, there's no good makor for it, that it's really a Suda's Mitzvah, or that it's even a Yom Tov. So it's Tanya Rav Yaakov Emden, and this L'chair is a very strong kasha. This kasha Rav Yaakov Emden is very strong. Who gave the Yaivitz the right to compare a carbon Eitzim to a Bris Mila? So he ends off, he says over here, at the end of the piece, he says, the last line, he says, "V'im Rabbi Yaivitz legarmei hu da'avit." He says, "Maybe the Yaivitz did it himself, but the rest of us can't do it." Now, the problem with the Yaakov Emden is this is against the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch brings down the Yaivitz, but Yaakov Emden held strongly that this Yaivitz is not a mistaf. Now he's asking a good question: how do you compare the two things? So you take a look over here in the Minchas Baruch. Minchas Baruch was he was a rav in I wrote it down in Krynik. Krynik was a relatively popular city. Krynik. He was a rav at the end of the 1800s. He learned in Volozhin. And his sefer is somewhat used as a rabbinic literature. He writes Gevaldik. He says, "I don't understand the Yaivitz. What did the Yaivitz say?" That the Rabbi Yaakov Emden said that carbon Eitzim is well-sourced, while Bris Mila is not well-sourced. That was his kash. Taina de Minchas Baruch, I think Rabbi Yaakov Emden is wrong. He says... He says, "I'm a mekol mokem ine muskav mishnah klal dar tahani yom haviyam toivim." Says Rabbi Yaakov, says the Minchas Baruch. He says it's not true. If you look up the Gemara never said that the day you brought the carbon eitzim was a yom tov. The Gemara brought down this concept that the day you're supposed to bring the wood. It never says l'ficha hu yom tov. So we're back to square one. We're back to minig playing field. There's no Gemara that says that the day you brought the wood was a yom tov.
What was yom tov?
The day that you brought the wood.
So the Gemara didn't say it was yom tov.
No. Right, so if I, no, Rambam says, right.
He says,
no, he says, Kimu Yantav to
Rambam. Right, but
that.
No, they felt it like that. No, they felt like that. I mean, that family felt it was their Yantav. The question was,
where does it say that?
Where does it say that? It really is a Yantav.
No, where does it say that they felt
the Gemara Nevin. Gemara Nevin says.
Well, they just felt
I'm happy that they felt the Yantav, but the Mishnah in Tainus that describes this day doesn't say, and therefore today that's a Yantav.
Point is they could have been wrong.
Listen, there are Yom Tov that people make up. We're still fighting about other days in Jewish history.
Not necessarily teaching
exactly. So may affect the Binuch Baruch who told the Yavitz. Umashikos the Yom Tov there below Tzadik have a Yom Tov the Vikabolo less a cloud. The Enum of all Bikra Dais Yom have a Yom Tov. Vikakasav the Zelay have a Yom Tov the Min Hoga Kamashikos of a Rambam. Then he goes the opposite. He says, "Va'adarab, Gabi Sudas Bismilo Kosva Taisvis Dekazah Smacht Al Kro Gambik Subis." He thinks is actually a better Mekar to think of Bris Mila as a Suda than there is for Karben Eitzim. So he flips the Yaivitz Mamash.
Because of Suda?
Right, he has arrived from Taisvis that he thinks there's more reason to think that Bris Mila is a Yom Tov than is...
Because of Suda.
Right, than
Suda.
Is...
Well, where's the Suda, right?
That's part of it.
Is it we get that from Avram, that puzzle?
That's one Makar. Yaakov Emden Mutches to try to find another Makar. Okay, so the question is, and I hate to leave everyone with a cliffhanger, but I have a Kamas Matseva that I'm already late for, but the question is Lamaisa, at the end of the day, affected by Salavitchik at number 12, and I'll leave everyone to do this on their own, is that two kashas. Who gave the Yaivitz the right to jump from eating to washing? The Gemara over there said it was a carbonate, and therefore they ate. Says Rabbi Yehuda Yaivitz, "Oh yeah, I took a shower also." So can you shave?
If it's a Yom Tov, if you could eat, it's the same halachas.
But again, aim boy el chedusha. Secondly, how do we compare Bris Mila to a Yom Tov? So this is going to lead us back to our old shayla of what's avelus and what's tainus. More so, let's think guy makes a bris this Sunday. Is after chatzos, is he allowed to learn lamdas? Well, Tisha B'Av is over for him, so he can wear regular shoes. He can wash himself. He can have relations, whatever. Well, is that mutter?
Oh, he's going to eat the rest of the day.
Yeah, it's over. No, it's yom tov shalayhu. So what does that mean? So the way some achrayim pointed, and I think this is the best way of saying it, we were only pushed away those things that were relevant to the simcha. Mashenkin, that's for example, wearing leather shoes or learning lumdas is not a steer to making a bris today. So that you still have to keep. Mashiach, those things that are direct steerer to the simcha that we broke. So fasting, and maybe even washing. But we're not going to say that now the guy's allowed to go learn regular Gemara because it's not Tisha B'Av. So, again, it needs more time. I got to run. But Amit Hashem, we'll have to see what we're doing after Tisha B'Av.